Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
It's time for another exciting edition of your favorite sports talk radio show and podcast. That's right, Listen In with KNN here, right here on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, where I'm your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, joined as always by my co-host, Ray Jones. Ray, how are you?
Hey, Kelsey, how you doing?
I'm good. I love the energy in your voice. We have a lot to get to. And Ray, I hope the fans know that on this show, we won't have a special guest, but we will be introducing a new member of our show that we're very excited about. And for those that have been following us on social media, you know exactly who it is, but you'll have to wait until the commercial break to find out. And with that, it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in. And be sure to follow along on social media using hashtag listenin with KNN. Now, Ray, we have a very busy show today. We're going to start it off in the D.C. area because, yes, it's the nation's capital, but also because all the controversy seems to be happening here with our Washington Wizards and Washington Redskins. I know you're excited for that one, Ray.
Yeah, you know I'm ready to bash a little bit, talk a little craziness about the Redskins.
Cool disclaimer, right from New York.
I won't go too hard on the Wizards. You know I'm a John Wall fan, but he had a rough night the other night, so we definitely got to dive into that a little bit. And I'm more than happy to talk about the Redskins and their dismal performance against my New York Giants. So I'm excited to get into that section of the show.
Ooh, already throwing the shade. And also the Wizards. I mean, John Wall is a new father, so we'll have to get into that as well. So he has a little new addition. And then, of course, we have to continue. We have to talk the Heisman Trophy, which is one of the most anticipated events every single year. Kyler Murray, I know you're also excited about that one because this year there's been a lot of controversy around it.
Yeah, it was definitely the race was a little bit more close than I thought it would be. I thought he was going to run away with it for a while there, but it was still pretty much the outcome everyone expected.
Okay. I mean, when you look at the numbers, like, right, I think it's what we should have all expected, but it was very interesting this year. Lots of big names highlighting the race. And then, of course, we have to talk football. We are in week 14 that just passed, and Ray, a lot happened this weekend on Sunday in the football realm. So I know you're very excited to talk some football.
Of course, I'm excited about football week 14. And then, of course, you know, a lot of fantasy football leagues started this week, playoffs. A lot of fantasy football playoffs started this week, so I was a little anxious on a couple of games, a couple of different turnouts I wasn't expecting, but so far I've come out victorious and ready to move on to the next round, get this playoff money.
Yeah. Uh-oh, right, you're making people happy. Right before the holidays, we're talking about getting people money, so that means everyone will have to pay close attention to the fantasy updates, so you guys will have to stay tuned for all of that and more. We will be right back after this quick commercial break. All right, cool. How do you think, Brad? Good? You want to do it over?
No, I'm good. Tyrone, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you guys were good. I think a couple of times you guys kind of meshed in there a little bit. Like, Ray, you were getting your thought together, and then Kelsey, you know, came in a little bit. But you guys played off of it.
Good. Yeah, we appreciate that feedback.
Kelsey's always trying to steal the mic from me. That happens all the time.
When you pause, I think you're done. My bad.
I got it.
So now we'll come back from commercial break. I'll introduce Tyrone on, and then we will start with Washington Wizards. Sound good?
So I'm not doing my comeback from commercial anymore?
Oh, I forgot you do it. Okay, no. You come back from commercial break, you know, me and you on, and then actually then you can introduce Tyrone. Tyrone, is it fine if he just says two-time, like, Super Bowl champion, or do you want him to say something else?
Nah, it does. It doesn't matter at all. As long as he get my name right. As long as he pronounce my name right.
All right, Ray, so whenever you're ready.
Well, I'm going to read it off to you. Make sure you're good with it, Tyrone, and then we're good to go.
Okay.
So Welcome back to Listening with Kanan, the sports sound of the district and beyond. I'm your co-host, Ray Jones, and we are excited to welcome the newest member of our team, two-time Super Bowl champion, Tyrone Poole.
That sounds wonderful to me.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good, Ray. Just do it with a little bit more energy.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry, I was just changing that last word.
No problem.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to Listening with Kanan, the sports sound of the district and beyond. I'm your co-host, Ray Jones, and we are excited to welcome two-time Super Bowl champion, drumroll please, Tyrone Poole.
Work that thing. Hey, I'm glad to be a part of the show with you guys. Kelsey, Ray, it's an honor.
Welcome, Ryan.
Yeah, we are excited to have you. Ray, look at us. We're thinking alike. That's how excited we are, Tyrone. We ready to have mind.
Yes, we're all three thoroughbreds. So let's start running and let's start giving this information. Let's make people be better than what they are right now with information.
Ooh, I like that. And I have a quick bone to pick with Ray because I never got such a great introduction from Ray in my lifetime. So I already feel like he's season favorite.
I'm just excited to have Tyrone in. You know, we got different a new perspective to add to our team. We got you, you know, the sports reporter extraordinaire. You got me, the ex intramural basketball legend, and now we have a professional Super Bowl champion. So, you know, I'm just excited to bring that aspect to the team. That's all.
It will be fun. And fellas, let's get into it. Now, I have to start with D.C. because we're hurting right now, so let's go to my Doing It Big and the DMV segment where we have to start with the Washington Wizards. I don't know if you guys heard, but on Monday night, the Washington Wizards were without their all-star point guard, John Wall, because unfortunately he has bone spurs in his left heel. All right, so without John Wall, we've been through this last season. The Washington Wizards, Ray, can they get the job done?
I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I'm a huge John Wall fan. I think it may be time to just break the whole team up. It seems like for whatever reason, there's some type of cancerous emblem in that locker room, and they can't get it to mesh. They can't get it to come together. It may be time to just tear it all down, move some pieces around. I know last year when John Wall wasn't there, they played well for a short spurt, and then they ended up, you know, reverting back to their old ways. So it's just time to tear it down. Tyrone, what you think?
Yeah, you know, I think the injury that John Wall has is an injury that can be taken care of with surgery. Of course, we know he left the game in the third quarter this past Saturday and didn't practice from my notes that on Sunday. So the injury is something that can be taken care of, but he is a very important part. I've had you know, heel spurs, and it is something that is very painful, but it is something that's very treatable. So he is a very vital part of this Washington Wizards basketball team. So it's almost like, so he goes, so does the team. So, but he's very important.
And I think he said a big thing. I mean, I think John Wall is truly important. They built a team around him, and that's what Washington does. Washington were a very franchise player-oriented team because, of course, before John Wall, it was Agent Zero. Yes, I'm bringing him back up into the conversation, Gilbert Arenas. And so I really can't imagine a John Wall-less Washington Wizards team. And of course, you have the other piece, the Bradley Beal. And luckily, the Wizards have someone like Beal who I think can carry the team. But I think, like Ray said, it's something going on in that locker room. It's toxic. You guys know they also had a recent trade, and if people don't know the trade news, the Milwaukee Bucks agreed to send Matthew Dele, all right, John Henson, and a pair of draft picks to the Cavs for George Hill and Sam Decker. But then the Bucks sent Decker to Washington for Jason Smith and a future second-round pick. So I will ask you real quick. I'll start with you on this one, Tyrone. Do you think just trading Jason Smith was enough for the Washington Wizards to turn their season around?
Yeah, I think it does. Anytime you can bring players in that can contribute, you know, that's why they have scouts. That's why they have people that go out and they try to find out how to make the team better. Now, let's not forget, despite the loss to the Cavaliers, out of the last 10 games, the Wizards are 6-4. So, you know, they are playing pretty good basketball if you look at the last 10 games. So, you know, anytime you bring players on to add additionally, it makes you a little bit better.
Yeah, and then Ray, for you, I mean, on a positive joke, because I'm not just bashing the Wizards, Bradley Beal was named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week, averaging 30 points per game, 6 rebounds, 7 assists per game, and shooting 50% from the field. Is Bradley Beal enough to carry the Washington Wizards to a spot in the East? Let's say, can they get in that top 8, Ray?
Like I said earlier, there was a time last season when John Wall missed some time and the Wizards played pretty well, but they were not able to sustain those winning ways for very long. They did, you know, put it together for a while. They played well. John Wall came back, and they kind of were inconsistent at that point because they were trying to mesh him back in, get him back into the rotation. So, like I said, I think it may be time for one of those pieces to move. Those guys, they're both great players. They both play both sides of the ball. But I don't know if they can necessarily play together to make a championship contender. It's just now it may be time for Beal to flourish because, you know, John Wall is kind of a ball-dominant point guard. So Beal will have the ball in his hands more with John Wall out. But you got to think about once he returns, what's going to happen again? Are we going to have the same thing from last season? Are they finally going to click? And if they do click, will they be able to sustain it to make a playoff run? To me, that's a huge question that's been lingering for a couple of years now. They really haven't been the same since Paul Pierce left. When he was with them that one season and he carried them. Well, not necessarily carried them, but he had a lot of locker room leadership that allowed them to excel and go pretty deep into the playoffs. They haven't really had that person to fill that void since then. And it's kind of showing with all the spats in the media and different issues that's been going on the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, go ahead, Tyrone.
And I'll say this as well, adding on to what Ray is saying. You know, you sometimes as an organization, you have to make future decisions. And John Wall, you know, the thing that's coming up in his career, just like any athlete, the longer you play, injury issues start to happen. You start to get labeled. And even though he's 27 years old, you know, he's missed a great chunk of the 2017-18 season. I think he had to have arthroscopic surgery on his left knee late January. You know, he's missed 9 games between November and December this year. So in total, you know, he's missed about 41 games. So injuries, when you start to get that injury bug on you, and in sports, you know, age, even though he's 27, those are like dog years.
Very true, because John Wall, remember, both knees have had surgery. You talked about the other stuff that's been happening with him. And John Wall relies on his speed. Let's not forget that. So he'll definitely be a player we have to keep our eyes on, especially if Washington wants to bring a championship home one day. Now, continuing to talk about Washington and the injury bug, the Washington Redskins, oh my gosh, the debacle, Ray. I know you're excited to get to it. But Washington Redskins fans, you guys know this, tight end Jordan Reed, unfortunately, he suffered a strained big toe, and he might miss the rest of the season. Yes, so the Jordan Reed injury bug continues. Ray, I will just get into it with you. I don't even know what to say about the Washington Redskins. They lost their fourth consecutive game on Sunday to your New York Giants, and now they're going to turn to their fourth starting quarterback of the season. Does Washington have anything left, Ray, to possibly make the playoffs?
I'm gonna be honest with you. The team has been decimated with injuries from the beginning. If you remember, their rookie running back got injured like early on in the season. They've been losing quarterback after quarterback. They've had a lot of injuries on the defensive side. Now Jordan Reed's out for the rest of the season. The injury bug has really decimated this team, and it's unfortunate. You know, I don't want to wish any injuries on any players. I want to see everybody competitive and play, despite the Giants being my team. So it's just unfortunate that they get hit with so many injuries. Who knows what they could have been if they remained healthy, because they were, like you said before, Alex Smith got hurt. They were at the top of the division, so they potentially could have made some noise into the playoffs. So now that they've lost two starting quarterbacks, and then Mark Sanchez didn't play very well on Sunday either, so their season is pretty much over. It was over when Alex Smith got hurt, but now you can definitely put the nail in the coffin on this. There's no shot for them to make the playoffs.
And that's how fans are feeling. And Tyrone, let me go to you now. I mean, we know the quarterback situation. So we have Mark Sanchez, who after Sunday's game, even more people are calling Mr. Butt Fumble. And now we have Josh Johnson, of course, who will take over the starting abilities. But just last week, he was playing a basketball charity tournament pickup game. And now he's been thrust into the national spotlight. Does he have what it takes to end this Washington Redskins season on a positive note?
You know, I don't think so. Again, you look at the team schedule, I think the last three games, you know, you got Jacksonville, they're out of the playoff picture. Tennessee, the Eagles, you know, they're still going to be competing. But with the injuries at quarterback, I think that's where the game starts. On offense, you got to have a confident leader that when those other 10 guys bend over or kneel down or whatever, they have to have somebody that they believe in. And right now, Josh Johnson is not that guy that they believe in. He's the guy that comes in, you put the Band-Aid on, and just tell somebody to hold pressure until you get to the hospital where you can fix that thing. So I say that to say next year, they're going to have to fix it. But right now, you know, Josh Johnson, I think he's good enough. He's been in the league. Yes, he's played with several teams, but he's an up-and-down player. When he's good, he's good. When he's bad, he's bad. You know, you can look at that as a positive or a negative when he is hot and when he's not. But I think Josh Johnson is just going to be the guy that keeps the pressure on until the team gets to the end of the season and they try to figure out what they're going to do for 2019 season.
The 2019 season, and looking at that, the Redskins are already looking at drafting a quarterback. In the news, Alex Smith, an infection after he hurt his leg. How could any of us forget that? And now we're talking about that word that we all cringe at, amputation. I'll start with you, Tyrone, on this one. Is Alex Smith, do you think he's going to be done in the NFL?
You know, anything is possible. You know, we've had injuries with Willis McGahee. For all those who remember, running back for the Miami Hurricanes. In the championship game, he tore every ligament in his knee. But with medicine and technology and doctors and just so much equipment that has come onto the scene that can help people heal, not only just athlete people, period, because the body is such a great healing mechanism. It just needs to be put in the right environment. So right now, no, I don't count him out. I'm pretty sure if Magic Johnson, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen. So with that, I think Alex Smith does have an opportunity. He just has to put his body in the right environment.
His body in the right environment. Well, all eyes will be on Washington, and now let's switch over, staying in the football ranks, to the Heisman Award, where Kyler Murray, yes, Oklahoma Sooners stand up, because Kyler Murray, it just seems like Oklahoma is doing it all. And Ray, I'll start with you on this one. Were you expecting Kyler Murray to run away with this one?
Yeah, I definitely was. He separated himself, I'll say about midway through the season. He kind of like propelled to that next level, I would say. His stats were astronomical. His play was just astronomical. He was a great overall player, and I thought it was interesting when he made the choice to select, I guess, to go play baseball instead. Is that accurate? He was going to go to the training camp with Oakland A's, correct?
Yep.
I mean, it makes sense to me because, you know, baseball is less of a physical sport. You're likely to last a lot longer there. But for him to be such a great football player, it reminds me of Charlie Ward when he was a great football player in college. He won the Heisman Trophy, but he wound up going to the NBA. He decided, you know, football is a more physical sport. Basketball have more likely to be more longevity in that sport, and I can play a lot longer, not as many injuries. So I can understand it's definitely a smart decision. But as far as him winning the Heisman Trophy, yeah, I pretty much thought he was going to run away with that one.
Yeah, and you talked about his stats. I mean, he threw for more than 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns this season, right? But then you talked about it. I mean, he's a two-sport athlete in college, right, in his junior years. And you talked about it. The A's actually drafted him ninth overall in the 2018 MLB draft, and his agent helped him to negotiate a $4.66 million deal. And they're saying that's one the A's might not have offered had Murray wanted to play football, right, instead. But he is 5'9", and everyone's talking about they think he's too short to be an NFL prospect. What are your thoughts on that, Tyrone?
Well, going back, Ray said, the person that stood out in my mind when I heard about the decision of him play baseball was Charlie Ward. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me personally, when I look at the stats,
I'm a stat guy. You look at Kyler Murray, you know, at the end of the season, he throws for 4,053 yards, 40 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. You know, you look at Tua Tagovailoa, he does 3,353, 37 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So I think the Georgia game actually called that injury that Tua had in that Georgia game might have cost him some votes. But going back to Kyler Murray, you know, the guy's gifted. He plays a lot of, you know, just athletic. And, you know, baseball, he picked baseball because he probably feels that's going to give him the best opportunity for longevity. Plus, you always go with something that you're passionate in. So he's more passionate in baseball than football.
And staying with the Sports Around the Nation segment, Kyler Murray not only made headlines this weekend for winning the Heisman, but also it was uncovered that back in 2011 and 2012, when he was about 14 or 15 years old, he had actually sent some tweets out that were anti-gay and that offended some members of the LGBTQ community. Now, this one's, I think, a tough one, but on this show, we never shy away from controversy, and I think it has to be talked about. So I'll start with you, Ray. Now, he did apologize for the tweets that came to light. He said he used a portrait of words and that it doesn't reflect who he is or what he believes. And he said he never intended to single out any individual or group. Ray, I mean, how do you feel about these tweets coming to light in spite of him winning the Heisman? I mean, do you think the timing was off? Was it meant to hurt him? Like, what did you think of everything when you heard all this go down?
I think it definitely was meant to hurt him. I mean, the key thing that you said in that statement was, when he was 14 and 15 years old. At that age, I think a lot of us did a lot of regrettable things that we wouldn't necessarily do at our ages now. I'm not saying that it right, what he said was right, but you have to understand that he didn't have the maturity level back then. He probably didn't even have the knowledge or maybe necessarily know what he was saying or how hurtful his words would have been to someone that maybe find that offensive. So I don't necessarily like when people go back and dig up tweets from 10 years ago. I know Kevin Hart just got hit with some controversy like that, and I forced him to host an award show. Like, it was over 9 years ago. Like, things like that, I always feel like people typically do that just to hurt someone's brand, to hurt someone's name. I don't know the person. I don't know him personally, so I can't say he doesn't think that way now, but at 14 to 15 years old, there's a lot of things that I know I did back then that I most likely would not do now or I regret doing now. So I always look, I always frown upon when those type of things pop up in the media, because it's typically just to tarnish someone's aura or their persona.
Right, and same with that. I mean, do you guys remember when Villanova had won the championship and the player off the bench, and I forget his name real quick, but remember everyone was celebrating him and glad that he helped Villanova coming off the bench, and then they found out even from him that years ago when he was in high school that he had tweeted the N-word, and that got used against him. So it seems like more we're in a culture where things that you've done in the past are coming to the light, and now we're being judged by that. You talked about Kevin Hart, who now is not hosting the Academy Awards, and he, of course, was very excited about that. And now Kyler Murray, I think, has a little black cloud over his head and really couldn't fully celebrate the Heisman win because he had to spend time with his, you know, PR making a statement and protecting himself and his brand as he prepares for the MLB. So going to you, Tyrone, as a former college athlete, I mean, what words of advice would you give to Kyler Murray to, like, overcome this storm?
You know, it used to be where you say, there's an old saying, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words would never hurt me. Well, you know, it seems like today people are going to use them words against you to try to boomerang and make the words hurt you. But I think we're living in a society today where, you know, you have people who basically just hang on to things because they know that this person one day could be something, so I'm going to hang on to it. You know, we had it happen to a president. So it's like there's nothing that you can't be safe with. I don't think no one's safe. Everyone is a target, and it's all based on how fast you get to success, because I believe everybody is out to try to be player haters, or they trying to get rich quick. So if I can't get it, I'm gonna make sure you don't get it. So it's unfortunate that it's like that. And, you know, just like we're talking about with Kyler Murray, you know, who the reporter, I'm pretty sure they probably, he was saying, hey, you know, that's a nice football career you got there, but it would be a shame if anything happened to it. So it's like, you know, reporters, anybody, they should be held accountable. And this is what I like the world to, like, change and start looking at. We always looking at
the person that we're trying to attack. But what about when those responses are incorrect? It's like nothing is done to the person to a point that makes those allegations. And, you know, it's like it's time out. It's like if you should try to bring someone down, and if you're wrong or whatever, you should pay the penalty just as much. You know, you should lose your job just as much. But again, you know, Kyler Murray, whoever this reporter is, you know, Kyler Murray probably saying, hey, you know what? You know, you didn't stop me. I'm still going. And this reporter, you know, they're forever probably be trying to write negative stories. But, you know, Kyler Murray in this situation, I think he has the bigger future, the bigger hand to change people's lives more than this reporter.
And that's powerful, because I think he did it very maturely. He stood up for what he did wrong. But I think, Ray, you said it right. I mean, when we were all younger, we all tweeted and said some things that were not right. And I'm not defending him, but I think he was a child right then. And we do have to say that. But I think it is a time for us to correct ourselves. And we also have to remember that when he was a 14 or 15, the world was even different back then, right? So much has changed, I think, for the better. But I think he's held high. I'm excited for his future and career. And it's not something I'm going to, you know, hold him responsible for the rest of his life. He did apologize. And I think hopefully we can all move forward. And hopefully the media can, you know, also focus not just on the negatives of athletes, but also the positives. Now let's switch over to the NFL week 14. So much has happened. But topping the news is that former Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt actually began alcohol and anger management counseling this week, according to the NFL Network's Ian Report. And I'm going to start with you, Ray, on this one. So, of course, Ray Rice has been asked to chime in on this situation. But in asking that, some people are saying that Kareem Hunt might try to return to the field in 2019. Do you at all foresee him coming back to the NFL, even though he's being investigated right now by the NFL for three incidents?
I definitely think he's going to be back in the league next year. The way the NFL works, they have a short-term memory. If you remember Joe Mixon, I'm not trying to bring up anything bad for Joe Mixon. I think he's a great player, but just as an example purposes, he had an incident back when he was in college where there's a video of him punching an individual on camera. And I think that was a lot worse than the incident with Kareem Hunt. But, of course, now Joe Mixon is flourishing in the NFL, and it's not really brought up that much. So I think that Kareem Hunt will definitely get a second opportunity. He's a great player, and there's a lot of teams that need a running back like that. If you can see, Greg Hardy was given a second chance. He had a pretty violent past as far as accusations with domestic violence. I think the only downfall for Ray Rice was that he was older when it happened for him. A lot of his other players were a lot younger, so they still had a lot of time, talent, athletic ability left. And I think at that point in Ray Rice's career, teams weren't willing to take that chance on I think he was maybe almost 30 or over 30, 30-year-old running back. But they'll be willing to take that chance with a 23-year-old or a 24-year-old running back.
Yeah, and just saying that, I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, this weekend, they came out with an overtime win on top of the Baltimore Ravens, but already people are talking about how different of a team they are without Kareem Hunt. Your thoughts on that, Tyrone?
Yeah, you know, anytime you lose a valuable player, and he was a very important part of that offense. Anytime you got a running back that can run the ball and catch the ball, and that's what Andy Reid's offenses have always been a part. They've had players like that. You know, you go back and look at Deuce Staley, you go look at Shady McCoy. You know, it's like all those running backs that were in that Philadelphia Eagles type of repertoire, even though Andy Reid might not have been there, but the system still was kind of there. So that's what they strive on. That's kind of like the old West Coast offense. You got Roger Craig back when Joe Montana and all those guys were playing with the 49ers. You got a back that can run and a back that comes out the backfield, so that creates mismatches. But he's going to be greatly missed. But I think also going back to the Kareem Hunt and Ray Rice thing, I think sometimes in society, just looking outside of football, when you first create a problem, when a problem first comes and it's very magnified, then the first thing people start doing is cleaning the house, because they want to get rid of the negativity, but they're also trying to find out ways to make it better in the future. So Ray Rice was kind of like the person that ran through the wall and got the bloody nose, and then everybody else that comes behind, because we all fall short. We all gonna do something. I don't advocate, you know, none of the negative things or bad things that we do as people. You know, I think we should always try to do great. But I do believe that the NFL, people become more, forgiving to a point. When things continue to happen, unlike when it first happens, you know, it's very intense. But I do think, you know, Kareem Hunt, he will be greatly missed with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and one thing I want to touch on real quick, Turbo, and you talked about how, you know, people can be forgiving. And we saw some of the quarterbacks play this past week in football. So looking at a guy like a Colin Kaepernick, who doesn't have the bad things on his record, of course, at least in terms of getting in trouble with the police, but in terms of public perception, not everybody agrees with his stance. I just have to ask you, I mean, do you think the NFL is also holding out on him and playing back in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, even with that thing with Colin Kaepernick, I'll go back and I'll actually elaborate a little bit more. People are forgiven, and I'm going to use the body as an example, like with injuries. You know, you can jam your finger. Yes, that's pain, and time will heal it, maybe 3 weeks or what have you. Then versus having a broken leg, that's a little bit more time. That's a little bit more painful. So I think depending on the situation and the people who are in control, so to speak, the system, they determine the length. It's unfortunate. You know, it's kind of like we're talking about Kyler Murray. You know, people hold things. So, you know, unforgiveness, you know, sometimes people hold that forever. But hopefully Colin Kaepernick, you know, can continue to do what he's doing and spread a good word. But I really think his NFL days probably are over.
Well, thank you for your candidness. And I just had to touch on that, especially since you used to play in the league. Now let's switch it over to another tone and talk about the week that was. And really quick, I want you to say the team that you're keeping your eye on in terms of the playoffs and why. So I will start. All of my eyes are on the New Orleans Saints. I think Drew Brees is going for one last hoorah. Of course, they just beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but the New Orleans Saints just continue to roll. And for the first time in their franchise history, they have repeated as the NFC South champion. So I think Drew Brees, I think he wants to do it in style, and already what a season he has had. Now I'll switch it to you, Ray. Which team are you keeping your eyes on and are you excited about for the playoffs?
It's the same team I was talking about earlier in the season. I like the Chargers, man. I think that if they can get Melvin Gordon back healthy, their defense is coming back healthy. You know, Joey Bosa just came back. He's been playing well these last couple games. They have a great passing game. They have a great running game. They have all sides of the ball. The only team I really see in their way is just, unfortunately, is in their division, the Kansas City Chiefs. But the Chiefs don't necessarily have the greatest of defenses to maybe stop the Chargers. They have the firepower, of course, but I think eventually they may come back down to earth a little bit. You know, the winter months, it gets a little colder. You have to run the ball a little bit. I think them not having Kareem Hunt in these colder months may start to impact them a little bit. Right now, they can still sling the ball a little bit, but come late December, early January, it's going to get a lot colder out there. A lot of those passing plays may not be there. They may not be available. But when I go back to the Chargers, they have that running game. They have Melvin Gordon. They have Eckler behind him. And then even the young boy, Justin Jackson, played well the other day. So I think that's going to be my team to watch, and we're going to see how they're able to carry it throughout the playoffs. Because, you know, Phillip Rivers is a gunslinger. He's been mm-hmm. in these circumstances before. He's performed well in the playoffs. He hasn't necessarily won the biggest game yet, but he has been in the playoffs before, so he's not going to have any jitters. We haven't really seen Patrick Holmes in that environment yet. So I'm my eyes are on the Chargers right now. That's what I'm going for. I think they're going to make some noise once they do get in the playoffs.
All right. Chargers for Ray, Saints for me, and now it is you up next, Tyrone.
Well, you know, I'm going in the AFC. I'm going to be real quick. I'm going to give everybody the two-minute offense, the two-minute my response. But going into the playoff, this is what people have to know. My years of playing in the NFL, 14 years. What determines your winning opportunity in the playoffs is your ability to take the ball away on defense, get off the field on third down on defense, don't give up touchdowns in the red zone while creating touchdowns offensively and protect the ball on offense. But when I look at Kansas City, I think with the loss of Kareem Hunt, you bring in a coach, not because I played with the Patriots, but I know that system real good. Belichick is going to feast on Kansas City if they are the two teams that are in the AFC Championship. He's going to make Andy Reid play left-handed. Same thing he did with the St. Louis Rams when they played in the Super Bowl. He knew Marshall Faulk was the machine. They took Marshall Faulk away, and Kurt Warner and the passing offense had to win the game. Couldn't really do it, so I think Belichick is going to do that. But my dark horse in the NFC, those Chicago Bears. Those Chicago Bears, those things I just named, take the ball away, get off the field on third down, don't give up touchdowns in the red zone, protect the football. Chicago is doing a great job, and they have shown that they can do it on the road and at home. So if you get New Orleans out of the dome, New Orleans is a different team. And we just saw the Rams. They can't play unless the weather is in Southern California. So Chicago is my dark horse.
Well, Tyrone, let me ask you this. So do you have any apprehensions in regards to Mitch Trubisky, the young quarterback? Because you know he has that injury.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, you know he has that injury, and then with him being such a young quarterback, are you nervous at all as far as his, him being able to perform in those big moments? So they, well, I agree with you. They have the great defense.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Even with a young quarterback, now let's go back and think back. Let's go back. I'm again use the coaching. It's all about the coaching. Those intangibles. That's the intangible that determines whether a team wins. Players can get you to the Super Bowl, get you to the playoffs, but it's great coaching along with the players that get you the Super Bowl. Now, again, Tom Brady, when he took over, he was young. He was young, but the coaches knew that. Charlie Weiss, who used to be the offensive coordinator with the Patriots, they put Tom in situations that he could play very well in, and they relied on just trying to outsmart the opposition. So I think the same thing can happen here. You know, it's in a great system, great coaches. We'll put him, Mitch Trubisky, in situations where he doesn't have to win the game by himself.
And that is huge. We'll have to keep an eye out on all of these teams. We'll have to see who comes out the winner, of course, as playoffs draw near. And now we'll switch over to our Are You Serious Right Now segment. And, Ray, I will let you lead this one off.
All right. So with the Are You Serious segment, I'm going to point at myself because I really went hard on Jerry Jones and the Cowboys when they traded a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. I compared it to all the other trades and the different price tag that was on those trades, you know, with Golden Tate, Demaryius Thomas. And I was like, wow, the Cowboys got duped. They gave up a first-round pick. They could have got any of these other wide receivers. But I'm going to just be sitting here right now and say I admit I was wrong. Amari Cooper has been balling ever since he's gone to the Cowboys, and the Cowboys themselves have been balling since they acquired Amari Cooper. And it just makes me look at the Raiders and shake my head even more because I did not expect Dak Prescott to be that higher level of a quarterback than Derek Carr. And at this point, you have to look at Derek Carr and say, what were you doing wrong that made Amari Cooper look so bad in your offense but look like an all Hall of Famer on the Cowboys offense? So, Tyrone, I'm going to go to you. What do you think is the biggest difference in Amari Cooper's performance from the Raiders to the Cowboys?
Well, Ray, Kelsey, I think what I've seen, no matter what sport it is, I think sometimes guys start – let's go back to the draft. Let's jaywalk. Let's get in the time machine. Let's go back to when Amari first came out. Most times, guys, coaches, organizations, those player personnel people, they're trying to draft anybody that they feel like can – you know, look good in college, not really trying to draft according to what their offensive system is, how this guy fits into the system. And I think Amari, yeah, he was a great guy for the Raiders and, you know, could do a lot of things. But I think now coming into a situation where Dire Straits with the Cowboys, they said, you know what, we're going to bring you here and we're going to let you do what you do. All right, we're going to get the ball to you. You're going to be our focus. You're going to help our offense. Whereas sometimes you can go to a team, Jay Gruden, or John Gruden, Jay's brother with the Washington Redskins, where Kelsey is. John, you know, sometimes you have these coaches, they're like, it's my way or the highway. This is my system. I love to spread the ball to everybody. But I think when you have a talented receiver, you got to make him the go-to guy. You look at the 49ers back when they had Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice, you knew he was going to get his balls. Same thing here in Atlanta with Julio. I don't think the Falcons are using Julio like he's supposed to be used. But anytime they throw the ball to him, he make plays. So Amari is doing what he knows best, is to catch balls, make plays, and try to draw the safety over to his side so he can open up opportunities for his teammates. And right now the Cowboys are riding on high. They got that three-headed monster again. They can throw the ball. They got a receiver. Dak is playing better now. And then you also got the running game. So the Cowboys, they look pretty strong.
Agreed, agreed. And then let's remember, Amari Cooper, a 3-touchdown, 217-yard performance Sunday, right? And the win over Philadelphia, and I think he said it best, a dream come true. So all eyes will be on him. Ray, I think you're kind of excited, it seems like, for his future with the Cowboys.
I'm still torn because, you know, I'm a Giants fan. But I'm happy to see Amari Cooper excel because I root for him.
Yeah.
I think he's a great player, so I'm excited to see him in a better environment.
All right. Well, all eyes will stay on that. And fellas, I can't believe the show went so quickly, but thank you both for another great edition of Listening with K&N.
Thank you, Kelsey. Thank you, Ray.
All right. Thank you for listening to this edition of Listening with K&N. As always, I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play. You can catch us if you missed the show on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, download, and review as your feedback and support matter.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.